Alex is just clarifying that I'm not the herd of elephants. Maybe just one. Welcome. How you all doing? Good? Good? Any advances on good? Above average, Dale. Wow. Come on. All right, let me pray and then we'll get into this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are just incredibly good. And we who are in relationship with you just testify to your goodness. We are recipients of your incredible grace. Holy Spirit, just come and move among us now. Speak to us as you would, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you were really perceptive, you might have noticed I was just a couple of minutes late getting into church. So I've just driven straight back from Launceston just now. And Janelle, I drove through the fog too. But anyway, still made it back pretty much on time. So the last couple of weeks, we've had the Tasmanian celebration, which is we've had the great privilege of having Will Graham here in our state. And many of you would have been out at My State Arena last Saturday night, and that was an incredible blessing. The amount of people that responded to the gospel was just incredible. And for the BGA Association, that's the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, it's a big mouthful, isn't it? But they certainly do these things all over the world, and you know, they understand, you know, what sort of response generally happens at an event. And normally it's about 10% of the people that actually attend a celebration would respond in some way to the gospel. Here in Hobart, we had a 13% response rate, which was absolutely amazing. And then so many of those were people actually responding to Jesus for the first time. You know, the people make those declarations for all sorts of reasons, and there are recommitments and a step forward in somebody's journey. But there was a lot of people, and mainly young people, that were making a decision for Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And so in Launceston on Friday night, the Silver Dome out there, up there, I think it had about 1,600 young people. So it was very much a youth focus on Friday night, and they had a very, very, very good response on Friday night. Last night was sort of a more general night, similar to what we had in Hobart here. Again, really, really well attended. I haven't been given the numbers, but I'd say there were probably about 1,600 people there. Last night, and a lot of people are responding to the gospel, so we can praise God for that, for what he's doing in our state. But I just wanted to share a couple of other things too. Obviously, as a church, and we were all part of that journey, but I just want to acknowledge some of our people that have put in an incredible effort. Sometimes, you know, the Bible tells us that sometimes a prophet is not acknowledged in their own family, and we're familiar with people that are around us. But the work that actually that Pastor Elizabeth McLennan has carried for the Tasmanian celebration has just been amazing, and the acknowledgement that she's getting for the quality of work that she's been able to do in other places. And I just want to acknowledge this here now in this place. Like BGA would have her come and work for them in an instant, just like that, I'm sure. And again with Leonie and they're still up there. We had Janelle up there last night too, as she said she came back, and Dylan was there as a prayer volunteer, and lots of people doing incredible stuff. So we just want to, you know, acknowledge the favour of God and, you know, what people have carried. So that's give him a hand. Just, you know, encourage Elizabeth and that. Andrew and Fiona Harcourt, again, I went out the back last night, and Andrew was out there in a you know, one of those portable sort of office blocks, you know, absolutely filled with technical stuff everywhere from one end to the other. And there were about five or six people all working in there. And then Andrew's in his little booth. And I said, "What, you're managing all this bit here?" Yep. He's like an octopus. But just Andrew and Fiona and just what they've actually done and just their generosity today. Get around these people, encourage them, and just speak life into them for what they're doing. They've done an incredible job, so just do that for us. Have you ever found yourself asking, "What's going on? What the heck's happening?" Or, you know, what is going on? Have you ever said that? I'm sure you have at times. Or you know, you go somewhere and there's a bit of an event and people get together and somebody's sort of supposed to be leading it, but everybody's sort of standing around and they're waiting for direction and it all seems really disorganized and you say, "What's the plan here? Anybody done that?" Some of you don't care much and others of you are very organized and you want to know what the plan is. I'm sure Mel would want to know what the plan was when she turns up somewhere. And sometimes we ask that question. And we're starting a new series this morning and we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. And really, that is a book that talks about the plan. And Paul says, "Hey, I've got some stuff I'm really excited to share with you because there is a cosmic plan. There is a plan for the universe. There is a plan for absolutely everything. And it's actually been a bit hidden. It's actually been in the Old Testament. It's been in the Scriptures. But it's actually been hidden to now." And he said, I want to actually uncover that for you and explain to you the magnitude of the plan of God. And this plan is put into effect through the preaching of the gospel, and it's actually displayed, and I'll unpack this in a minute. It's displayed not just in our cities and our states and our towns, but it's displayed across the spiritual realm. How? Sometimes we think, it would be done through the glory of God, but actually his plan, and God has chosen to display his plan in the spiritual realm through the church. So what we're doing here this morning, some of you can think, we've just come in and we've gathered together and we've worshipped and we've heard someone talk about the offering and the pastor's going to preach and I hope he doesn't go too long and we're thinking, that's church. But, you know, there's actually a whole lot more going on than what's just going on in this room. There's a whole lot more going on in across this city than what's just going on in this room. It's actually God has chosen you because the church isn't a building. You've heard that said before, I'm sure, many of you. It's not even an institution. It's people. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, you are the church and you are part of the church. It means God is using you to display his wisdom and his magnitude and his glory across the universe and in the spiritual realm. Isn't that incredible? And let me just start here. Ephesians 3:3-5, and it says, "As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me." Now, you think, that's cool, you know, he's riding away. But let me just take you back a bit. Paul had this amazing conversion. Like he was persecuting the church. He was ripping people out of their homes, taking them and locking them up, torturing them and putting them in jail so he could stop this thing that was confronting his beloved religion of Judaism. He was persecuting the church and he was getting about doing that and he has an encounter with Jesus. Anybody here that could testify this morning, I'm sure, you were going in a certain direction. You were doing stuff that when you look back, you think, wow. And then you had an encounter with Jesus and your life turned around and it changed and you went in a totally different direction. And that's what happened to Paul. He was going from one town to another to find more Christians and put them in jail and make their life a misery. And he runs into Jesus on the road to Damascus, and we're told this bright light comes out of the sky. And it's just so bright and so powerful that he falls off the donkey or the, whatever he was riding, and he hits the ground, and Jesus actually speaks to him. And then he goes away a little bit into it, almost obscurity. And Jesus starts to talk to him. But he says this, he says, I was taken up into the third heaven. And we don't really completely understand what that is or completely what it meant. But he was one of the few people that have walked physically on this earth that has actually been taken into a space where he's been able to see the whole mystery of God unfolded in an incredible way. So when he says, I'm actually talking about the mystery of God, he was somebody that was actually taken into the very presence of God and was able to see something that most of us won't actually ever get to see while we're in this dimension. And he says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his apostles and prophets. So, in the first four letters of the New Testament, Paul teaches very much what it means to have Christ in us. He talks about what it is to actually come into relationship and have the powerful living God actually living inside you. Changes everything, changes who you are. It absolutely changes you from the inside out. And he unpacks that and he talks about what that means. But in Ephesians, he takes a little bit of a different approach and he takes on the subject of what it means for us to be, and I'll use a churchy term here, but I'll unpack it. He talks about what it means to be in Christ. In other words, what it means to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about being in Christ, I can pick something up and I can say to Alex, as I do at home sometimes, oh, where does this go? I do that all the time because she knows where everything goes. And sometimes she'll say, well, you know. And I say, no, I don't know. That's why I'm asking. But she might say, no, that goes, you know, that goes in the kitchen. Or in the cupboard, or in the bedroom, wherever it is, and she's talking about that. You know, you place it in that. Or I might talk to somebody else, and I might say, what do you do? And I remember probably when I first met Simon, and Simon's in a different role now. But what do you do, Simon? And Simon probably would have said, you know, I'm in IT. Or somebody else might say, I'm in marketing, or I'm in law, or I'm in hairdressing, or I'm, you know, you're in an industry. And it means that, what does it mean? It means that you are part of that industry. Or it means you're part of that society. And being in Christ means that you are included in everything about the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. It means to be in. It means to be fully included, to be actually in it. And it means your part in the body of Jesus Christ, the church. One of the commentaries I read said this. It said, if the letter to the Romans focuses more on God's work in the individual Christian, and we've just looked at Romans, Ephesians includes the great theme of God's work in the church the community of believers. And over the next month, as we unpack Ephesians, I want to talk about why. I mean, you can't not be part of the church if you're in Christ. You can perhaps not be particularly engaged, or you can be a dormant or even a paralyzed member of a body, but you are part of the body. You are part of the church if you're in Jesus Christ. So if I'm part of a body, I want to be a moving, functioning member of that body. I want to be a part of that body that actually makes a difference. That's why we do what we do. That's why you do what you do. That's why when God challenged Alex and I, you know, about sowing our lives into church ministry, we with lots and lots of other things we could have done and were doing, but you know, there was a passion that we have that there is actually nothing more important that we could do. Because the church, the body of Christ, is God's plan. It is his mystery being unfolded in the heavenly realm and in the physical realm. It's through the church. And I want to talk in coming weeks about how that applies to all of us as individuals and how we're part of that. And I actually want to talk a little bit more about how we as his local body here and the group of people he's pulled together here in Hobart, how we can grab hold of all that he has for us into the future. And I love what Mel said. You know, there's a tide that is turning. There is God actually getting us ready for something that is actually more significant than we've even imagined. Right back to the first verse. This is a letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Keep in mind that everything we unpack in Ephesians was written while Paul was in prison. Many of his letters were, but this letter, we've just looked at Romans and we've talked about the context of Rome and what was going on there. Well, Paul wrote to the Romans before he actually got to Rome. When he writes this letter, he is in Rome. But he's not there running around preaching in churches and sort of off on some sort of ministerial junket holiday. He's not having any of that sort of stuff. He is actually in prison. And I like what he says. He says, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, and then if you go down to a little bit further, he actually says, you know, I am a prisoner. He doesn't say of the Emperor Nero, which was the reality of it, that he was in prison because the Emperor of Rome decided that he should be in prison because this Christianity thing was a potential problem. But he says, no, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles. You see, Paul's circumstances didn't determine his calling in Jesus Christ. Imagine that. He's actually in jail in Rome now, and he's thinking, oh, if only I could be out of jail. You know, I could be encouraging this person, I could be going there, I could be traveling there, I could be doing all that. But no, he doesn't even question that. He actually says, no, I am a prisoner, not of Nero, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm doing what he's asked me to do, and at this stage, it's to be in jail, and I'm writing letters, and I'm having more influence than ever, but I haven't got to determine that. I'm trusting Jesus because I'm a prisoner of him, not Nero. So straight away, he took the power away from those things that would disempower him. And he said, the reason I'm here is because Jesus actually needs me here at the moment, and I'm doing what he's called me to do. You see, your circumstances don't determine your calling. Some of you have felt like you've been called into things. You know that God's asked you to do things. You've got stuff. You've had prophetic words spoken over you. You've got stuff that you've written down. You've journaled. And all of a sudden, the circumstances have changed. You know, you've lost a job, or there's been a relationship breakdown, or stuff's happened in a family situation. All sorts of things. And you think, what's happened? Why isn't it working anymore? You know, your circumstances don't determine your calling. Jesus Christ determines your calling. Let's keep going. Verse 2 to 5 in Ephesians 3, he says, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what has been written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Holy Spirit, he has revealed it to the apostles and prophets. Down to verse 10. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Isn't that incredible? And we're going to unpack this a bit more as we go on in coming weeks. But what does it mean to be the church of Jesus? What does it mean to have our eyes lifted towards the calling that he actually has for it? To understand who you actually are in that church, in that body, will actually help you to be more secure than anything else possibly can. And I think if there's one thing that I could suddenly give to all followers of Jesus, and of course I can't. It's not up to me, but Jesus already has. But if there's one thing that I could plead with people to get a revelation and an understanding of, it is getting an understanding of who we actually are, not just in ourselves, but who we are in Jesus Christ, who we are in this new creation, because there is a freedom and there is a security in that nothing else can give. We're all people. We're all going to get hurt. We're all going to feel offense and things like that from time to time. We're all going to have those things. But, you know, if you absolutely understand where security is, you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, you understand that there is nothing that can come against that. There is nothing that can take that away. And in your relationship with him, you get an understanding of the way he's created you, the way he's made you, the why you are the way you are, all those things. You get a security in that. And you can actually live above and beyond a lot of things that happen. You see, I can come and say something to you, and you know, you might think I'm being mean, or you might think I missed the mark, but that doesn't affect who you are in Jesus Christ. Because you know that he is above and beyond those things. And if you've got questions about that, if you're younger here and you're thinking, what does it mean to understand who I am in Jesus Christ? Let's get around people. Let's explore that together. Let's understand that more and more, because that will give you a security that you can live by that nothing else can match. And I think so often, as Christians, we've wanted to base who we are in Christ as perhaps who we are in any given local church, or who we are in the youth group, or who we are on the worship team, or who we are in this ministry or that ministry. But actually, it's most important to understand who we are in Jesus Christ. You are saved You are set free. You are called. You are redeemed. You are made pure and blameless in the sight of God. You are part of a plan. You know, I could go on and talk and determine who you are in Jesus Christ. But most importantly, you are part of His body. And you know, you might have parts of your body. You think, man, you know, you could think, oh, gee, I wish my nose was a bit smaller. And, you know, if I look at my nose, I think, yeah, it'd be good to have it a little bit smaller. You know, but I can't. It's still part of me. It's not going to go away. In fact, it's not going to get any smaller, except by surgery. I can't be bothered with that. But it has an incredible function. And sometimes we're like that. We think, "Oh, I'm in the body, but I don't look like that one, or don't look like that one." You are important and valued, and you are there for a reason. And God has created you in a special way for an absolute reason to be part of His body. Come on, let's get hold of this stuff. Ephesians 3:20-21, and this is probably one of the key verses in Ephesians. We quote this a lot. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish, listen to this, infinitely, you're hearing the, I'm still in driving mode, infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations and forever. Amen. God has more for us as His church than what we might ask, hope, or think. Now you might be praying incredible things, but did you know what? God actually has more than you can even imagine. You might think, wow, I'm the most out there person here. I think beyond everybody else. I see crazy things. But you know what? God actually has more. Ephesians will lift your eyes. And let me just bring it back to ground here for a sec. This letter was written to people who were going through a season of discouragement. And how do you respond in a season of discouragement? We've all experienced them, haven't we? In fact, you might be in one now. And there's all sorts of ways we respond. We might assume the posture or the position of being a victim. And you very well may be a victim in any given situation. And it's easy to react in negative ways to discouragement. Certainly I've done it, and I'm sure we've all done it at different times. Or we might take on a siege mentality. Or we might shut down, close our eyes and hope it goes away. Has anyone done that? We've got a junior member of our family, and when we need to talk to him about things that perhaps are a little uncomfortable, he literally goes, I'm not talking about it, la 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 la. And that's as much depth as we get. But Paul encourages them when they're in that season to lift their eyes and see the amazing plan that they're part of. If you've been having a week where it's pretty average, and it feels like a bit of a drudge, just find a way to actually lift your eyes, whether that's getting into some space with God by yourself, getting into the scripture, even getting around, you know, a friend that you know speaks life, and actually allow your eyes to be lifted and start to see again the plan that you are part of. Ephesians 1:3-5, all praise to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. You know, we are blessed in the heavenly realm. And it's not saying, oh, you're blessed in heaven. It's like, oh yeah, hey, okay, Sava. And Sava's going through some stuff at the moment. Okay, you're blessed, Sava. You know, you're going to be blessed, and your blessing is one day out there when you get to heaven in some far off place. But just for the moment, you need to suck it up. The heavenly realm isn't some distant place off in space or that place you're waiting to go when you die. No, it's talking about the spiritual realm. It is the here and it is the now and it is right now, and you are blessed. You are, if God says, you know what, I'm going to bless you in your house. I'm going to bless you in your life. I'm going to bless you in your finances. I'm going to bless you in your relationships. You know, those things are so temporal that he can pour out an amazing blessing on you, but it can be gone like that. But he says, no, I am going to bless you in the spiritual realm, which is above and beyond where you live, and it will flow into your natural realm. And you don't have to do something to get more blessed. You don't have to suddenly become some sort of Christian that's read the Bible more and done a whole lot of study and led more people to Jesus and all these things to gain more blessing. He says, no, when you come to Jesus Christ, you are blessed with everything that God has in the universe, in the spiritual realm. You cannot be more blessed. You cannot be more blessed. If you're going through something at the moment, you cannot be more blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm, and that cannot be taken away, and that will flow into all areas of your life. Yeah, stuff mounts against us, doesn't it? We go through stuff because we are part of a battle. And more, I think we need to get a bit of an understanding that the battle that rages in the spiritual realm is not something that goes on and we can't do anything about it. No, you are actually part of that plan. Did you know that when we come together and we worship and we lift up the name of Jesus together in this place, that we actually change something in the spiritual realm? We actually move the atmosphere right here in this place. We move the atmosphere in Moona. We move the atmosphere across Hobart. We move the atmosphere in our families. We move the atmosphere in our workplaces. Because you know what? There are things that would mount against you, but they cannot come against your praise. They cannot come against your declarations of Jesus Christ. They cannot come against the preaching of the gospel and the truth that is in Jesus Christ, because that is moving stuff in the spiritual realm. We're not fighting for victory. We're not saying, oh, if we can only get through this, if we can get through this terrible season. No, as I've said before, we fight from victory. When you receive Jesus, you have already received all that God intends to give you. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us, listen to this, in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. There you have it. Your role is bigger than you think. You are seated with Christ in that spiritual dimension above and beyond where you are now, and what you have to play is more significant than you ever thought. When you pray, you're pushing back the darkness. You're pushing back evil, you're pushing back oppression, you're pushing back hopelessness, you're pushing back control. When you share the gospel, you're bringing truth, love, and grace into your environment that will push back the darkness. When you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you push back the darkness. When you show the love of Jesus Christ in a practical way, you push back the darkness. And you know, when you look at our world at the moment, we can see the darkness, can't we? We can see stuff that is going on in this world at the moment. Why? I actually sound like Joe Biden, why in God's name? But why on earth? You know, why on earth would anybody actually want to take a gun and shoot kids in a school? That is not human. It is not what we do. But there are things that are rallying against humanity to do the most terrible things. You know, that person who did that, he's just like you and I, but somehow in his realm, something has got hold of him and twisted his thinking so much that he could actually go and do such a horrible thing. And sometimes we think, oh, what can we do about that? What can we do about that? And you look at, they start to unpack this whole gun control thing in America, and there are a lot more guns in America than people, and the whole issue is bigger than we can ever imagine. But you know what? It's not going to be fixed by legislation alone. It's actually going to be fixed when we understand the role that we have to play is actually pushing back the darkness, and it actually changes environments. It changes things around where people are actually released and people can be made whole and people can find out who they are in Jesus Christ, and we will see less of these things happening. When we live in a way that is obedient to Jesus, as we build his kingdom, we change our communities and cities, spiritually and physically. You see, as a local church who's based right here in Moona, and it's quite a miracle that we've been given a facility and an opportunity in this space. Because, you know, I believe that just one little part of God's cosmic plan is about us changing the spiritual climate and atmosphere in our city. And it's not a coincidence that he's actually brought us to this place, and he's brought us almost at the gateway between two cities in our geography here in Hobart, and it's no coincidence that the northern suburbs is perhaps one of the most unchurched regions of our city. Why? Because you know what? He has called you to be changing the spiritual atmosphere across this city. He's called you and us together to be part of that. You know, when we... This week... Chris and I had a meeting with Beck Thomas, the mayor of Glenorchy, and Beck's a great person, and we just shared with Beck. We've been working in partnership with the Salvation Armies, on street teams in Glenorchy. Now the Glenorchy CBD has had a problem for a long time with you know, what they would call antisocial behaviour in around the CBD area, and particularly it focuses around the bus mall up there in Glenorchy, and that stuff has been a problem for a long time. But why is it a problem? It's a problem because we've got broken families and generations of people that have struggled, and they get together in a certain area and they try to find community and express themselves in a way that just helps them do life. And then we've got people trying to do their shopping, and we've got, you know, a council trying to do its business, and then we've got, you know, teenagers running around with knives. All this is going on up there. And we've been working in partnership with the Salvation Army, trying to bring some change in the atmosphere to that place and meet people where they're at and just get around them and speak hope into their lives. And we sat with her and said, look, we actually think we can actually do more than that. We think we can actually work outside some of the hours, and we've got a plan to actually take Chris and Darcy's food truck up to that area and actually be able to, you know, give some drinks and some food and connect with people in that space. You know, and the council are like, yeah, we want this. We are right on board with this. And, you know, they've got to work out how it works with all their systems and stuff that councils do. But they were so excited to have us sharing a vision with them like that. What are we doing? We're bringing some connection, and we want to bring hope to people in that space. But we're also changing the atmosphere of a city. We're just playing a small part in pushing back some darkness. That's why we're here. That's part of the cosmic plan. The church is God's purpose to confront the unseen rulers and authorities that exist in the spiritual realm. And that's what we do when we go into the Glenorchy CBD. That's what many of you do when you go into your workplace every single day. That's what you do when you share Jesus with somebody. And using your gift. I love the stories that Kim tells me. You know, people that come in to a hair salon and all of a sudden they didn't know what they were getting into. Kim's there. And next thing, you know, he's chatting and sharing the gospel with them in a really natural way. You know, the darkness is just being pushed back a little bit further. For we're not fighting, Ephesians 3:10, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. You see, this spiritual kingdom actually does surround us on all sides. And it's not a spooky thing. It's not something you've got to be scared of, because you've got Jesus in you if you're a follower of Jesus. But it constantly influences us and affects us for good or evil, depending on our choices or our relationship with these powers. And you don't have to be some sort of weird, spooky person to have a relationship with these powers. Like if you don't have a relationship, you know, there's no neutrality. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're inadvertently just being influenced by the kingdom of darkness. See, if you're in Christ, then you have been blessed and you've been given a power and authority to live above these powers and authorities. And Jesus has given us everything that it takes to live in our present circumstances and relationships. And sometimes it feels like we're just on the edge of it. You know, in the last couple of years, I know many of you have been through all sorts of challenges and things like that. We've been through some of those as a church. We've been through some of those, Alex and I, in our individual lives on numbers of levels. And I know, you know, there are people here that have been through cancer, that have been through health crisis, that have lost people, that have felt the isolation that we've all been through. There are people dealing with significant changes in their life as they confront age. There's all sorts of things that people are going through. But did you know what it says? That we have what it takes to live the life God intended us to live. Sometimes we don't always feel it, but the truth is we have it. And what's your role in that with other people? When we get alongside them, it's just to come alongside and encourage and say, yeah, we're there with you. Jesus has given you everything that you need to get through this. It mightn't feel like it in this moment, but you know what? He has. That's the truth. And we're going to stand with you and we're going to declare his truth over your situation. We have what it takes to live the life God intended for us. We are blessed beyond understanding. Let's never make light of the challenges and the circumstances that people are enduring, but let's continue to encourage one another. It's the church, as was said, it is people, and every believer is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Just in the few moments I've got left, as we unpack this over coming weeks, Paul talks about the church as being a body. I've been talking a bit about that today. He talks about the church being a temple, and we're going to talk about that in coming weeks. He talks about the church being a mystery. He talks about the church being a new creation. He talks about the church being a bride. And then he finishes, I like this, he talks about the church being a soldier or an army. And for each of us, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's like we're a microcosm of the whole body or the church. See, it's just amazing the way these things scale in the kingdom of God. He called you, and everything that applies to the church, actually it applies to you and your role, and you actually get to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, but also you are part of the church, and you're part of the broader church, and you're part of the body of Christ. So what does it mean to be a body? When you're in Christ, you're part of a body, no more or no less than anyone else. There's no doubt that some members are more functional than others. And like the members of your own body, you know, there are times that the functions and shapes and sizes and perceived performance and everything changes. But have you ever thought or said, oh, the church should, anyone said that? Church should go and reach this person, or the church should do this ministry, or the church should be more friendly. Who said that? The church should be more welcoming. The church should be less judgmental. Anyone said those things? When you're tempted to say those things, and you know, they may be a bit true in an individual circumstance, but what you're actually saying is, I should be more welcoming, or I should be less judgmental, or I should go and do that thing, or I should engage in that because you are the church. Ephesians 1, 22-23, and I'll finish quickly with these thoughts. And he has put all things under his feet and made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills it all. So what's the purpose of the body? Well, the purpose of the body is basically an expression of the head, isn't it? You know, our bodies actually do what our brain tells it to do. Like, you know, my brain says, oh, well, walk up there. So my feet start walking and away I go. Or if I touch something that's hot, my brain says, oh, gee, that's hot. So I'll pull my hand back. And it, you know, my body is an expression of what's going on in my brain. And more than that, my brain's an expression of who I am and the way I think and the purpose and the things that I would like to see happen. So my body actually facilitates that. You see, the church is the expression of the head, who is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 21 and 23. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but the world to come. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ. Listen to this. Who fills all things everywhere with himself. You are his body, and you are filled with the very essence of Jesus Christ. If the team want to join me now. Alex is a pretty good cook. And I cook when I have to. And who's ever had a bit of a muck up when they're cooking? I go right when I sort of stay to the plan and don't freestyle too much. But Alex, who's more experienced than me, you know, I tend to measure things and try and get them in right. And Alex will say, no, don't. What, you just, you know, and she grabs the, you know, she'll grab the bottle of whatever, and you know, she tips it in. Oh, about that much, and you need about that much of that. But who's ever been sort of freestyling like that? And you grab the bottle, and you tip it up, and then the lid comes off. and you know, you wanted one dash of chili. And the whole thing is filled with it. And if you overdo it with something like that, it doesn't matter what you add to it. It doesn't matter what you try and do. It's actually going to be totally infiltrated with that thing. And if it's been too much chili or some other strong thing, like sometimes I put too much of some in, and Alex will say, oh, no, you put a bit of sugar in, that'll neutralise that somewhat. But, you know, some things, that the essence of that completely permeates what you're trying to cook, and there's actually no way back from that. You see, when we come into the kingdom, we are actually filled with the complete essence of Jesus Christ. And it completely permeates every part of us and goes right through it. And it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you're involved in. All those things can perhaps get on the outside. They can dull things somewhat, but they cannot change. They cannot permeate and change the very essence of Jesus Christ that completely fills us as his body. And sometimes we've been through discouragement and we've been through disappointment and we're not happy. Because we're trying to add some neutralizing effect. We're not actually walking the walk and serving him the way he's asked us to, because we're permeated with the very essence of Jesus Christ, and we're adding this thing and we're adding that thing, and we're doing this social activity or we're reading these books or we're going over there, and it's still not right, because you've actually been filled with the very essence of Jesus Christ, and that's never going to go away. Praise Jesus. So what am I saying? Be who you are in Jesus Christ. You have been completely filled. You have been completely permeated by the very essence of Jesus Christ. There is no need to try and dull that down. There is no need to try and add other things from around us and things from this world that we think we need to take on and have in our world. Let's just live filled with Jesus Christ as the very essence of who he is. Let's understand we are the body of Christ. We are the church. Let's be the church. And we'll be amazed at what happens, because his plan is bigger and more expansive than anything you have ever thought of, hoped for, or imagined. And he is going to use you to be part of that. Let's stand.
With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone.